Hi there, folks, and welcome or welcome back to Nippon Trading International's Japan Real Estate Podcast. I'm your host, Ziv Nakajima again, and this podcast is brought to you, among others, by Emil Gorgis of realestate.jp. He's a Tokyo real estate agent who specializes in serving international or mixed nationality families who are looking for the perfect family home. So Emil's an Australian. He's been living here in Japan for over two decades now. And for about half of that time, he's been buying, selling, and managing real estate properties in Tokyo on behalf of his own family and a great many happy clients. And he also acts as a mortgage broker on behalf of his clients. So he's got dedicated loan officers in many of the Japanese mega banks. And if you're a regular listener of the podcast, you probably already know him from our JREP, the Japan Real Estate Experts panel sessions, which means that you're already aware of the fact that the man is an absolute fountain of wisdom on all things related to real estate in Japan, and in particular to family homes, the greater Tokyo metropolitan area, and mortgages. And most importantly, he's incredibly generous with his time and advice, which he's more than happy to provide at no cost or commitment to anyone asking. So if you've been thinking about buying your home in Tokyo, but you've been sitting on the fence for a while, or you just want to have a chat in English with a real expert, drop him a line on sales@realestate.jp. Hit him up today and start exploring your options. All right, so for today's episode, apologies in advance, but I wasn't paying attention to audio settings before I recorded this one, so my volume is a lot lower than the person I'm actually speaking to in this video. Might be a bit annoying for anyone listening, but this is a really good conversation, I thought, with a really lovely new client that I think will bring a lot of value to many of you. So I decided to post it as is. This gentleman is planning to retire in a countryside farmhouse in Japan. And so we discussed the usual topics related to family slash holiday home purchases, but with some nuanced focuses, like the reality of the harsh winters and summers here in Japan, visa matters and conversations about how exactly one can be obtained. We also talk a great deal about how we work with Japanese agents, listing slash seller side versus buyer side realtors, structural inspections, the best way to remit and send funds and receive funds from Japan and to Japan for the purchase, how to deal with listings that have farmland attached to them, price negotiations and how they're normally handled here, and much, much more. So a nice, well-rounded chat about all things related to retirement home purchases here in Japan. Enjoy it, and I'll see you again on the other side.
Thank you for that. So you've been coming to visit, but only to the countryside, not to any of the major cities.
Yeah, we landed in, I've been here 2 months now. So we're going back to Singapore on Tuesday, so we're to Nagoya for an airport stay because we've got an early flight. So yeah, Osaka, Kyoto, we did Tokyo a little bit. This was last year. We were on kind of a honeymoon, so we had a bit of a little tour. But we came in avidly looking this year. We came in February, in winter, and of course we came here at the peak of summer. You know, the two best times to visit Japan, right? But there was a method to this madness. I thought, well, if I can take a Japanese winter in a cold, drafty Inaka countryside, and I can take the heat and humidity in the heat of summer, every other month is going to be a breeze. You know,
that's true. And you're also not as bad, but you're well trained with Singapore with the humidity and the heat.
Oh, of course. Yeah. Mind you, I think last month here, well, I think was worse for sure. Both me and my wife felt it. Yeah, it was 40 degrees, I think 30. We was in Okayama for a bit. It's 30 degrees in the evening. You know, I got bitten. They like English blood, Japanese mosquitoes. Man, I have never been bitten so many times in my life. But anyway, all good experience, right? So we had looked. So basically, when it was like, oh, let's live in Japan, it was a more of a retirement thing. I'll say it. I keep kidding myself, saying semi-retired. But I'm not. I'm done. I've done nearly 40 years in corporate. So big bank for last 16, 17 years. I was American Express for 18 years. I worked for the military and defense for a few years. IT, I'm an IT, on the IT side. So,
that's the American military or the UK military? Or?
UK. So, if you know a little place in England, most people may have heard of it, called Stonehenge. I used to live a stone's throw from there. All of that land are surrounding there, thousands of acres of it. It's all military. So, okay. All my family are military. I'm like the black sheep. I'm the one that didn't join. My dad, his dad, my granddad, uncles,
but you
cousins.
Ended up working for them anyway.
But I wasn't in it, and that was very important for me. You know, so used to moving around. I was born in Germany. I grew up there 15 years. I still remember the Berlin Wall. I used to live not far from Berlin. So that was an interesting time. And then I moved to the UK, and then I moved to Singapore mid 2018. So it's been coming up for 7 years, Singapore. And anyway, so I finished work end of last year, and I've lived in cities all my life. You know, my UK city is Brighton, south of London, and I want a complete opposite to it all. Yeah. Which sounds a bit crazy because we have a condo in Bangkok as well, which we're off to when we get back. Also, yeah. Fairly big city, Bangkok.
So, I'm curious. I'm kind of thinking about that myself. You can fairly easily rent it out when you're not using it, right?
Yes.
Yeah. That's the attraction for me. I think I'll go for one of those myself.
Yeah, that was the attraction for me as well. Also, you own it. That was also a big thing. So when you buy a condo, they can sell 49% to foreigners, 51% to Thai people. And we were in there very early. So when I saw it, it was just a hole in the ground. This was about 18 months ago, and it's finished now. So we exchange the final paperwork next month. So that's quite exciting. And then we'll live in that for a couple of months and then rent it. Just so we can say we lived a little bit in Bangkok.
Well, I mean, I know you'll be coming back once or twice a year, right?
Well, this is it. So this coming back to the Japan. So, you know, when it was like, because we love Japan, every time we visit and we go somewhere different is something eye-opening that you don't know. And so it was trying to narrow things down. That was the challenge. I mean, Japan, I had no idea Japan was that big. You know, and, you know, obviously from a map, yeah, fine. But actually being there where do you go? You know, so you start basically mapping out where you don't. It was easier to say where I don't want to be, you know. So I didn't want to be too far north. So my line was like Ibaraki upwards. So forget that lot. I'm fine to go there skiing. But
most of our Singapore customers, they gravitate towards the colder areas.
Yeah, I know. It's weird, isn't it?
But not me. You come from England. I don't think it's that much of an attraction to be in the cold.
No. And when we were here in, like I said, we came in winter. So we did quite a lot. It was more of a scouting trip to narrow things down. So we were from Hiroshima, Ehime, Okayama, Mie, Gifu, Nagano. And it was when we was in Nagano, I was outside. I smoke, unfortunately. So I was outside a little guest house in the middle of nowhere. It was minus 13. And you can see I don't have any hair left. I could feel the skin on my head contracting as I was standing outside. And I was like, damn, man, what's it going to be like in Hokkaido? If it's minus 13 here, there's like, several more hours to go up north before you.
It's similar, but a lot longer. So anywhere between October and April is basically snow time.
Right. So yeah, and then the other line was, I want some seasons. I don't mind winter. You know, I don't mind being cold. I don't mind being in a place that is a bit cold for a little while, as long as I'm inside and I'm warm. You know, so having the seasons is something I've missed from the UK. Singapore, there is, as you know, there's no season. Well, actually, they say there are three. They say there are three. Wet, wetter, wettest. So that's normally how it got described to me. So, yeah, 30 degrees, like 365 days a year. So anyway, so it was there. So then it was like, okay, so we went and spent some time in each of them to see how we liked it, you know. Started looking at some properties, but not only online. We did one or two we went and saw just to see. Kind of like, what do you get for your money type thing, you know.
When you say went to see, you did a drive-by or an agent actually communicated
both,
with
both,
you in English?
Both. Okay. So I was doing all this myself. So hours on Google Translate to English, you know, and it was only, so I think they've been there on your site. The two guys that did the map, that's it, Akiyama.
Yeah.
So I caught them on one of your videos with a, I don't know, NTI code or whatever it was. So yeah, I signed up with them and then just rechecked the areas that I've been in, you know, and then some of the ones I'd seen were on there as well. So, and then some were communicating directly with agents, but obviously I'm writing my email in English, translating it to Japanese and sending it, praying that the translation was sort of okay. You know, we
that
did.
GPT, by the way, will be very helpful with that too. It's a lot better than Google Translate.
Is it? Oh, there you go. I
give
really
it
need
English
to
text, and you say, "Please write that in Japanese and be polite and, about it," and it just does it.
And it just does it. Yeah. Oh, well, there you go. I really need to explore that product a lot more. So yeah, so we did test it. I've got a friend in Singapore. His wife's Japanese, so I did run some of the translation through to it. Does this make sense? She went, yeah, it's pretty good.
Close
and then
enough.
I was like, then I said, is that the Japanese politeness? You know, tell me how it is. And she went, oh, it's sort of okay. Okay, yeah. So I got the real answer. So anyway, it seemed to be okay because we met a few of them. Just to, again, kind of see what things cost, you know, and what different areas, different pricing was and what you got for that. So it was more of trying to build up a knowledge bank. So we narrowed down to three areas. We came to Nagano Prefecture, Gifu, and Mie, north part of Mie. So we decided to come back and spend a long time, you know, just to really get a feel. So, you know, everyone's advice that I'd heard was, yeah, you need to spend time. You know, 2 or 3 days is nothing. You know, it's
especially
like
in rural areas. Life in country Japan is very different from what people assume it would be.
Oh, absolutely. And that was the main thing. So it was more like 2 weeks plus in a place. Here we've been nearly a month.
Yeah.
Where we are now, just you know, the guest house host is, she's brilliant because she takes around and introduces people, as did the guest house lady in Nagano as well. So, and there was a guy's channel that I was watching, and I was yapping to him over email, and we met him a few times now. So I spent time in places where I can get a better feel for things. I still feel, even after that, it's just scratching the surface, really. It's so deep, and you're never going to get that experience until you live there properly. And that then is really my next dilemma. So, you know, Thailand is simple. They have a retirement visa. Japan has no retirement visa.
Well, it has something, but it's for a year. And it can never be done again, like the working holiday visa.
So retirement is not working, right? For me, it really boiled down to two. You're on a tourist visa where you get 6 months a year, with a break after 3 months, or you go down a business manager visa road. You know,
I'm not sure you have to take a break. By the way, depending on the country, you could just waltz into the immigration office and ask to extend it for the extra 3 months?
Yeah, can. We haven't done that. Everyone that we, the two or three people we know that have done what we were thinking of doing, they exited, they just You're in. I'm terrible at pronunciation. Fukuoka, yeah. Yeah, I knew I was going to get that. I would not have said it like that. They just took a ferry to bottom of South Korea and just spent three or four days.
Lovely weekend.
Yeah, had a nice little weekend, came back, and then poof, another 3 months, and they were okay, you know.
Yeah.
So, so is that all the business visa? And then the business visas, well, do what? So that's where I've been putting a lot of thought. So the houses we've been looking at are really geared around what do we want to do.
Now, if you've attended any of our recent JREP Summit events in Tokyo or online, you've probably heard our sponsor, Robert Miller from Innovatius.com. He's been in WebDiz Solutions here in Japan for the past 25 years, and he's also an active investor in Japanese real estate property, as well as global online property, which is his specialty and what his company Innovatius is all about. They offer a full suite of website services for entrepreneurs and small business owners, including all aspects of web design and management, backup and updates, content formatting and editing, proactive maintenance and error fixing, you name it, with a strong focus on SEO excellence, which is what gets you those hardcore top-of-the-list search engine rankings. But there is a difference. Innovatius works off a simple, all-inclusive monthly subscription model, as opposed to the typical outdated and confusing project model. So you never have to wonder how much any request for any work to be done on your website might cost. It's always $497 per month. And if that's not enough, if you've mentioned you've heard of their services on the Japan Real Estate Podcast, you'll also get 10% off this monthly price for life. Also, and equally important, if not more, you can try out Innovatius for just 1 month, then switch them off, on again later if you want, and so forth. There are no minimum subscription terms. Now, if you're a small business owner, managing and growing a website is super distracting and time-consuming, right? That's exactly where Innovatius comes in. Robert's team takes care of all of that for you so that you can focus on what you do best. So feel free to email Rob on robert@innovatius.com, and his team will conduct a full SEO and website audit on your site, reveal anything that you should address to increase your website's appeal, and provide you with an easy-to-read detailed report with your own branding so that you can make some informed decisions on your online strategy and watch your business grow as you implement it. So once more, robert@innovatius.com. Drop him a line and get your website reviewed today.
Wait, so, hang on. Let me back
up. Oh, sorry, please. Second. Sure.
So you actually need or want to stay here for more than 6 months at a time? Because it sounds like you're global grasshopping anyway.
I'm no spring chicken anymore, Ziv. You know, it's like there's going to come a point where that's just going to be a bit of a pain. And of course, you know, my wife has her child, which is a cat. So at the moment we're parking the cat with somebody else, and there's a decision there. So ultimately, we want to be the.
You see yourself staying here most of the
absolutely,
year.
Absolutely. Yeah, if not full time, you know. So we would rent our Singapore house. We would rent our Bangkok place. The Bangkok place was an investment anyway. Yeah. You know, I don't want to live my life in Bangkok. I saw myself more of a Koh Samui type of guy. Okay. You know, kind of, you know, near the sea, you know, deck chair, pina colada, that sort of thing. That was more me. Central Bangkok and its craziness, as much as I love it, I'm going to want some tranquility at some point. So Japan is that tranquility. So, yeah, the ultimate aim is to stay here and go down that business manager road. So we were... One of the reasons we stayed in Ehime is there were two Americans that we kind of met through YouTube. Those guys. Yep. So we went and stayed with them for a little while, just because we're very interested in. They're about 18 months ahead of where we are looking. So, and Danny Benton, she's an absolute brilliant documenter, because when I was looking for this information on how you do all this stuff, it was really hard to find. And she's like packaged it up more or less. So definitely wanted to go and see them and say hi and see how everything was going with them, because they're just about to finish their first year business manager. So they will be hopefully renewing December.
Once
I think it'd be
that,
three.
I'll ask them if they wouldn't mind being on the podcast, because like you said, a lot of people are interested in exactly that route.
Absolutely. And they've done it. So, you know, and they've gone through it. They had a, he's on, he comes at the end of your broadcast sometimes. I'm terrible with names. Shim, that's the one.
Yep.
That was who they used as their immigration lawyer.
I see.
And that's how I found your channel. Because I, as most foreigners do, they end up with Cheap Houses Japan.
Which is beautiful.
And
it's hand curated. It's not like Akiyama's, but it's
beautiful. Exactly.
I mean, Michael does a very good job of the newsletter.
Yeah. And when you subscribe, you get his pack.
Yep.
So I got his pack, and then all you guys suddenly came up listed in there. So I started, where are these guys then? And then came across your channel and blah, blah, blah. And then here we are. So that's it. So, yeah. So the business side, that would probably be coming afterwards. We want to secure somewhere where we know the village that we've actually found the place, which is the only reason. It was an FYI. Here's the email chain that I've been doing for a week or so now. And we've seen that house. We've actually been there, looked at it. And then a friend of mine that's in that village, he went and did a tour. So he got the local agent, came and showed him all the buildings. So you can actually go in. We couldn't go in last time. It was all locked up, as you'd expect. So he was live streaming as he was going around. So we did like it. Houses in that location don't come up often. A lot of them were snapped up by property developers. So there were one with about 30, 35 houses.
And the plan will be to... Is this to be your home / holiday home, or is this to be?
No, it's not. Not holiday. Not. I wouldn't call it a holiday home. For me, that would be.
Until you get the visa.
Oh yeah, because we have to leave. So, they would. You know, when we would go there, assuming we successful at this transaction. So if we do go, then most of it will be getting the prep work for what would come next. So the house needs some work, you know, and it's more than just a house. Is as you may have seen already, it's obviously an old farmer's house. Interestingly, the agent listed it as 1950, and there's no way it's 1950.
Right.
You know, my limited knowledge of Japanese house building tells me that is Meiji era easily.
Let me have a quick peek. And maybe share my screen so we're looking at the same thing. Did you send me that listing in the email course?
Yeah, it's like as a chain, and somewhere down the bottom you'll probably see some info from the estate agent. That was interesting because the estate agent is actually based in Tokyo.
Yeah, that's often the case for these smaller townships which don't have enough property movement to justify a local agency. Then they'll be handled by a near big
city. Yeah. I would have thought Nagano would have been the obvious choice. Bearing in mind, it's a 25-minute drive, 30-minute drive max.
That email.
Did you see? No?
Not yet.
You probably got a crowded inbox because you've been away, right?
No, I'm just looking at your emails, but I don't... Maybe you sent it only to Faye, not with the CC to myself?
Let's have a look.
Oh, put it here in the Zoom chat. I'll open it.
Yeah. Ziv... Plus one more. It was a reply to the one you sent me, and I attempted to attach. Yeah, there's a download attachment, one of those MIME attachments.
Okay, gotcha.
And then that. So yeah, I don't have a laptop to hand, so I've only got a phone and my iPad, which is what we're doing this on. So I was trying to think, how do I copy the email in? So.
Open those.
So she's been very responsive, you know, which was quite a surprise to me because, you know, the houses, you know, what I would call the slightly cheaper end, you know, they're normally at the bottom of their to-do list. you know, but she's actually quite responsive. She responds within a day. So I was quite surprised at that. But happily so, of course. So, and she's English. She speaks English. She's writing to me in English. And yet you can tell that she's not translating. Unless she's using ChatGPT, of course.
She no, may well Tokyo, be. You do have a higher likelihood of finding an actual English speaker in Tokyo. So from that respect, it's not
yeah.
bad.
So, yeah. So, yeah. So this was the one.
Opening for me. Give me a second.
It's not? Oh, no.
It's not to do with you. It's me okay. And my PC. Give me a sec. I'll just kill it and try again.
See, the other thing with cars, and I'm sure I don't need to tell you, you know, the more you look in, you know, rural Japan for houses, they're all farmers' houses, you know, so which means then largely they're all coming with farmland. So it's not an impossible situation, but it just makes it considerably more complicated. Well, this one, they actually removed.
If the farmland is under 500 square meters, it's a fairly easy conversion process. The seller, as part of the ownership transfer, can turn it into non-farmland. If it's anything over 500 square meters, yes. I really mess with it.
They were all well over that, you know. Okay. Several rice fields and everything.
I'm not seeing any pictures, though. What am I?
In the attachment?
No, I saw a layout and I saw some maps, hazard maps and whatnot, and the plot land.
Okay.
No
pictures of the. It was right down the bottom of it all.
Yes.
There's just a few there.
Of course, it's the last one. Okay.
Of course, always the last one, right? Okay. So I mean, there's a lot more. There's a lot more online.
It could be 1950s. Why do you think it's not?
Well, one is the Kura. And the second is, this was the house under that metal roof, because we asked the agent, because I wanted to know if the old thatch was still there. And he said, no, they took part of it out and some part of the thatch is still there. I'm like, they weren't really in that area building thatched houses in the 50s. So that was why I'm sitting there looking at thinking, you know, I look in the beams, you know, the beams in the Kura. It's still got the writing, it got an engineering direction. And
from my perspective, if it's 70, 80, or 150 years old, it doesn't matter.
It's very likely
to be quite dilapidated.
Surprisingly not, which was the good thing. When I looked inside, all the thick posts, they're all square. I took a spirit level and my friend took one, so I couldn't go in the main house, but around the Kura and some of the other buildings that were there, they're all fine. It's been re-roofed recently, say the last 15 years, something like that. So whoever owned it maintained it, or looked to have maintained it, fairly well.
A structural inspection just to confirm tilting, sinking, termite traps.
Yeah, the termites especially, you know, being next to, I mean, there's fields surrounding it there, so the risk is slightly up. But when he went in, there's a few things need sorted. There's definitely been a roof leak at some point in two places. Obviously, it was bright sunshine when we went. So with rain, I don't know if it's still happening or it had happened, but they just haven't patched up the, you know, you get the stain on the ceiling and the wall, a bit of a wall. There's a crack, big, deep crack in the bathroom. There's a couple of areas where the boards, you know, would need. But I mean, I'm expecting that totally, you know. But for me, I use that as, for me, it's a little bit of leverage. Perhaps on price is how I looked at it. So, you know.
It doesn't exactly work that way here. They're usually priced already.
Yeah, I hear that.
Taking their age and condition into consideration.
Yes.
From our perspective, like the structural inspection report, for example, if there's anything in it that's too major, it'll give us maybe, you know, it might cause us to reconsider whether we want to go with it or not, but
absolutely
not a huge negotiation leverage.
Mm.
No, I mean, 10, you can ask 10, 15% off. That's not going to offend anyone. But beyond that,
no,
you might not be taken seriously.
And that's what I was thinking anyway. I watched, it was very timely, actually, your, what I call your rant video.
Sorry about that.
So No. I was glued to that. I was very interested in that. And your friend Emil's also his response. And yours was I was very because we do, you know, I mean, UK, yeah, I'm not going to say lowball, but you go in lower, but you expect to come somewhere compromise, you know, and I know
not just the UK,
yeah, but I mean, that's what I'm used to. And I know Japan is not like that. And my biggest concern is offending them, you know, like, you know, oh yeah, I'm going to give you this offer. So how dare you go and, you know, I'm never going to speak to you again type thing.
Tire kicking gaijin, don't even reply to them anymore. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, so I'm thinking, and it was interesting. If you read the text, the first email exchange with the Tokyo agent, she gives some lovely language in there, you know, and these are her own words. And she actually says herself, you know, please note that the property has deteriorated considerably over time. That was from the agent.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, deterioration is, to a degree, a personal thing. You know, some people don't like a bit of paint peeling. You know, it's like, oh, my God, you know, the house is going to fall down. You know, whereas other people just look past that. You know, I kind of look past that stuff. But structural stuff, you know, if it's tilted, the roof is gone inside, the posts underneath are gone, yeah, that they would be red flags for me. You know, wall repairing, you know, the old mud wall around the back, you're fine, no problem. You know, I'm fully expecting to be doing some level of reno, and in this place is no different. So you know,
as long as we don't have to rebuild it from the ground up for
several
times the price of the property again.
Right? Yeah, well, this is the other thing. This is the other thing I think partly in my favor. You can't rebuild on that.
We interrupt this broadcast to tell you about Tokyo Family Stays. They're a short-term rentals company in Tokyo, and they offer a home away from home experience, which is just perfect for remote working, quarantining, if that's still a thing, or if you just need somewhere quiet to get away from the world. They offer a variety of options for families, corporate relocations, or even if you're simply transitioning between homes in Tokyo. The properties are super comfortable, tastefully furnished, fully equipped with all amenities, and they accommodate up to 10 people. So really the only thing you'll need to bring with you is your toothbrush and maybe a change of clothes. They come with fast, unlimited wireless internet, dedicated workspaces, and fully equipped kitchens. And they're just a delight to stay in. Fantastic alternative to Japanese business hotels, which if you've ever stayed in one, you probably know. They're tiny, they're noisy, fine for a night or two if you're on your own. But longer term or with a family, you'll probably feel you're in a jail cell very quickly in a Japanese business hotel. So if you want to give yourself a sense of space and freedom by renting a real home, with comfortable Western beds, including all the necessities like baby bedding, children's toys, high chairs, etc., you definitely want to reach out to Tokyo Family Stays. They've been at it for over a decade. They're a fully licensed minpaku or short-term stay operator. And as a special bonus for our viewers and listeners, they're also throwing in a breakfast basket upon arrival for anyone who books and mentions the Japan Real Estate Podcast or NTI. And not only for guests, if you're a property owner, you've got an investment property that you want to tweak for higher profit, or a holiday home that you want to rent out when you're not using it via short-term stays, drop them a line today. See how they can help you maximize your property's income. And again, as a special bonus to our viewers and listeners, they're also offering a free audit of your existing short-term stay listings without any obligation whatsoever. So feel free to reach out to them at tokyofamilystays.com. Well worth a visit. And again, if you're in the market for a family home in or around the Tokyo metropolitan area, Emil's your man. Don't be shy to reach out to him as well at sales@realestate.jp. And now, back to the podcast.
I can't knock anything down and rebuild. Nothing.
Anything that leaves the foundation and supporting wall or two in place, depending on what the local municipality stipulates, is not going to be considered a renovation. So you could technically tear it down all the way down to the foundation and build it up from there. And technically, you're not going to be rebuilding. Really.
Okay. Yeah.
But the question is, there you go. Do you want to pay for that?
No, but it's good to know that, as with all things legal, there is holes in it all.
Always.
And we'll leave it there. So that is interesting. So I hadn't considered the foundation. If the foundation is there and you put something on top of the foundation, technically that's okay. same house. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So that's where we got to now. So I've told her that, yeah, we're interested. I've mentioned no numbers. I said I need to talk to your good sales and your services. I'd asked for your pack last year, which I had. I think one of your colleagues sent me that back in December, I think it was.
Well, you're saying the agent, you're saying, I can see in the email, she speaks very, very good English, right?
Yes. Yes.
So you don't need us to facilitate the entire purchase on your behalf. You're clearly working with somebody who can do it in English and remotely if need be. So maybe you just need us for consulting, like to hold your hand, make sure you're doing due diligence, make sure you're not, you know, review the documents before you sign them, that kind of thing.
It's that, yeah, it's the transacting side. Because, you know, at some point, you know, you're going to need the local scrivener and that's all going to be Japanese, and you know, my I don't want to go through the Japanese side.
Your agent will do it with you in English. I think the best thing to do is,
well, don't forget, she's the seller's agent. She's not my agent. She's acts for the seller.
Yeah, but you don't need this. Is okay. So the way it works is, technically there's the listing agent, and then if any other agent brings in potential buyer, they're considered legally the buyer's agent. But
yeah.
They're none of them are on your side. They're there for the transaction, right?
Yeah, of course.
So she's not on the seller side, and whoever brings it, you bring it, is not going to be on the buyer side.
Yeah.
We're a bit different in the sense that we only work on behalf of the buyer, so we're always kind of on your side. But the buyer's agent is there to handle things on your side, not to, like, they're not going to be strategic. They're not going to have, like, kind of sentences like she wrote to you, that please be aware that the house is old. That's usually as far as they'll go.
Right.
But if she's able, and you can ask her or we can ask her together, if she's able to handle the transaction with English documentation on your behalf, and if she's okay with the fact that you're not a resident and you'll provide notary public documents instead of having the stamp here in Japan, then I don't think you need anybody to act as your proxy. You'll be able to do it directly in front of her. And I'd actually be very curious in getting to know her and working with her, because I'm collecting English-speaking agents. There's not many of them around.
Yeah. Okay. I'm okay with the services side as well. You know, handling all of that. Then I just speak with you. Your company.
That we're not going to be able to do until the early start of next year. We're a bit swamped and just in the process of hiring and training 5 new staffers.
Okay.
But if for any reason she can't do it, I can put you in touch with a foreigner-friendly, remote, English-speaking buyer's agent. But I honestly don't think you need it from the sounds of it.
Okay.
I mean, we're happy to take your money, don't get me wrong, but I think I don't think you need us for more than hand-holding with this one. But I don't know. We'll see what she says.
Okay.
Yeah. She's a Japanese agent. She's strictly licensed. There's not going to be any monkey business. If she can, she can. And if she won't, she'll say she won't.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So where do we go next then? What should we do next? Do you need me to do anything?
A good idea would be, if you do want us there consulting, then maybe loop me into the email chain and say that this is MTI and we're going to be consulting and advising you with the purchase.
Okay.
And then I'll check all the technical stuff with her directly and see if she can or cannot do it.
Okay. And then I use...
The two main things that we need to check is, number one, can she provide contract and documentation in English for you to sign as opposed to Japanese, which is usually not going to be a problem if she's an English speaker.
Okay.
and whether she's dealt with non-resident, again, she's based in Tokyo, so I'm assuming the answer would be yes, whether she's dealt with non-resident foreigners before and she knows what kind of documentation you can provide in lieu of not having domestic Japanese documents.
Okay.
As long as she's good with both of these things, and I mean, sounds like you wouldn't mind coming here in person, but it'd be good to know if she can handle the process remotely or if you actually have to come here physically for the meetings.
It's the timing is, I don't know what the timing would be, so it's whether I'm around. Obviously I don't mind. So that's something I can think about, but I'd like to start off with remotely first. If I can be there, then that's great. But if I can't, then at least I know that she can do things based on the
Well,
fact that I'm
there's two
there.
points in time where more traditional agents sometimes insist on a face-to-face, which is the signing of the contract and explanation of important matters document. And some of them insist on you being there in person for that, or your representative. And the other, this is very traditional agents, but sometimes they want the actual settlement to be done in cash, face-to-face, like with a suitcase of cash. Still done in some parts, as long as she's willing to,
I thought that was illegal nowadays. We used to have
as long
people
as she's
coming into
okay with
our
the
branch
process.
in Dubai with suitcases of money, wanting to open an account. It's
Yep.
like, yeah, we don't do that anymore, guy. But this bank down the road, they'll do
So yeah, most likely she'd be okay with it being remote and in
you.
English. Only question is if she's okay with the documentation being notary public witnessed from overseas. If she hasn't done any deals with non-resident foreigners before, she might not know that it's an option, in which case it might be better to bring in a buyer side proxy.
Okay.
But from the
Okay.
sounds of your exchange with her and the fact that she's based in Tokyo, I'm very much assuming she's going to be fine with all of that.
Well, I guess we'll soon find out.
What was her name, by the way? Let me open that
Think
email
it's
again now.
Keiko Sake.
Okay.
Sorry,
No,
I
it's
have a
not
name.
somebody I've
It
worked with
was
before.
on
Okay.
the this, and the company sounds a bit
Sakai,
like
Sakai. Yeah, Sakai.
Sakai. Sakai, that was it. Keiko Sakai. Similar sounding company to your one also.
Resort estate.
That's their website. She puts down
Oh,
Nippon
Nippon
something
Mount. Okay.
holdings.
Yeah,
That was
Nippon
it.
Mount.
Those guys. Yeah, that was what was on the thingy.
Very interesting. I will attempt to rope her into doing more deals with me. Thank you.
No worries. That's how these things are found out and done, isn't it? So, okay. Survey and pest control. That's something I would need to organize, right?
Yeah, so by survey, I'm assuming she's referring to the structural inspection, which also checks for signs of termite infestations. Problem with termites is if they find signs of a past infestation or even a present one, it doesn't really tell them how deep they've gone into the woods. So once we see that, we're usually kind of on back foot. But let's see. But that would be something that you would need to pay for. So
Yeah,
the way we normally
exactly.
do it is we'd submit an application to purchase, and once the offer has been accepted, well, we'll write on the offer that it's pending a structural inspection report. And once the offer has been accepted, then we'll go ahead and commission that.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you know company that can do this.
I do, but usually we'll just hand over their contact details to the agent and she'll do it for you.
Now, here's some big news for anyone interested in Akiya, the abandoned vacant homes that are abundant all around Japan for very attractive purchase prices. Akiya Mart, our latest sponsor, is a recently founded online search and discovery tool for Japanese real estate. Its user interface will be very familiar to users of Zillow or Redfin. The platform essentially scouts the internet for property listings, translates them into English, and displays prices in US dollars. All in one place and with a dynamic map interface that makes browsing, finding, and shortlisting your favorite properties a piece of cake. Which any of you who have been struggling with the dozens, if not hundreds, of Japanese property websites that are available online and their very clunky interface will probably find a real blessing. They've got already over 500,000 listings on the platform, and the database is expanding daily, ranging from abandoned rural homes to luxury urban properties. AkiyaMart makes it easy to find your dream home in Japan, regardless of your budget. Now, while the platform is essentially free for use, here's an exclusive offer for listeners of the podcast. You can use the promo code NTI to receive $5 off AkiyaMart Pro. The subscription will unlock a bunch of very attractive features for you, including unrestricted access to the entire nationwide property database and a whole range of filters, which will help power charge your search for that elusive perfect home and make it even easier. So hop over to akiya-mart.com. That's AKIYA-MART, akiya-mart.com, and kick off your search today.
Payment-wise, so I typically use an application called Wise.
Yep.
Where I have
up to 1,000,000 yen. Beyond that, it's better to go with them. We use OFX. We've been with them for
about yeah. Okay, I can do that as well. But for, because I've got all that set up already. I've paid somebody in Japan into a Japanese
bank. Small stuff like our consulting fee, if you're buying something, that's definitely Wise. But with Wise, the issue is, well, firstly, if it's beyond 1,000,000 yen, it then becomes an international transfer. So there's other fees involved.
Yeah.
But more importantly, when you have a problem or a question or a request and you contact Wise, you get a random call center bot person. With OFX, especially if you use our referral link to sign up with them, you'll have a dedicated corporate account manager who will, you'll only always be talking to the same person, and they'll go out of their way to make things work. So for the bigger transaction, like the property purchase itself, I definitely go with them.
Okay. All right. I'll look into that link then. No problem.
I'll do it now. Otherwise I'm going to forget. Give me a second. I'll send you, you're already with Wise, so I'll send you a referral link for OFS.
Okay.
If you do sign up with them, just make sure you're using that link, and then you'll be associated with our corporate account manager. And we'll both get some nice bonuses as well.
Oh, very good. Very good. Everyone likes a nice bonus. Yeah, sounds cool, man. I mean, if I need to send anything in advance, then just let me know.
Well, if you know,
just
want
some play money. Yeah, I do.
Yeah, if you want us to hold your hand and be consultants on the purchase, then we will need a 10-hour retainer, which is 66,000 yen.
Okay.
So that'll be a Wise transfer. That'll be
If you just send me whatever detail I need to send to, and I'll do it. So I know it's done and it's there, and you've got a pool to play about.
I just sent you the OFX referral link now. If you could reply to that email with a name and address to put on the invoice, I'll send it your way.
So that'd be my address in Singapore.
It can be your company name, whatever you want the invoice made out to.
Okay.
But you don't need to wait for payment. We can start the conversation with the agent.
Okay.
All good.
Oh yeah, no. Yeah, no problem. Yeah, I'll do that. I'll do that shortly. So no issue. So my offer. Yeah, obviously I'm interested in making an offer. I said to her I'm interested. She knows I'm interested. Because I was trying to find out the owner of, there's some farmland at the back that no one's doing anything with. That's one of the things that was we found a lot in Japan is so much abandoned, not just property, land, just unused, real good land as well. So I thought that the being farmers, because you can clearly tell that that collection of buildings is all for farming, that they had farmland. Or she owned it out the back, but apparently she doesn't. So I think they sold the land separately because that's where the money is, of course.
Yep.
So, okay. So I'm definitely keen to go ahead. So I think there was an application form in her email. If there's not, so I was going to offer 8.3. Probably I thought that was a reasonable start. I do have
anyone, but might not take.
Which is fine. You know, if it does, then I'm very happy. If not, then I'll obviously, if they counter with something that says, well, I don't know, we can't take less than X, then fine. You know, I just feel I need to do some kind of haggling. It's, I don't know, call it a Western DNA thing, whatever it is. You know,
As long
I
as you
would.
keep it within that 10-15%, don't go beyond that because you'll get ghosted.
No, exactly. And I don't want that to happen, particularly if you are looking to expand your relationship there also. So I don't want to kill that before it even gets off the ground.
Very much
So
appreciated.
so 8.3, I think, is a good start point. I have a red line on it because I've got a budget. My overall budget, this is everything. That's Renault, car, everything there is about $150 US. There's some contingency there in case I need it, but that's what I'm looking to wrap everything up with.
Well, purchase cost would be, us aside, would be worst case about 15%. So you should be well covered. But
It's
that doesn't take into account any renovation costs we might need to put up.
no, exactly. And my wife has already been running rampant in the Toto showroom. And I'm having to rein her in a bit. It's like, yes, do you really need the marble counter, darling? I think the alternative stuff is just as good.
Is your wife from the UK as well?
No, she's Singaporean Chinese. So all her
Well,
family are
they take their
Chinese.
property very seriously then.
And they take their lowballing very seriously also. So she doesn't know that I'm offering this number. She wanted to go in at like seven. And I was like, nah, you're gonna kill
Different market,
it.
different market.
Exactly. So your email has turned up, so that's great. Thank you for that. I'm guessing we're near our time now. So
We are,
yeah.
but I think we've covered. I mean, we'll have a lot more to-ing and fro-ing once we're actually digging into the property, but we've probably covered the basics, I think.
Yeah, and as always, I'm very aware that things move quite glacially in Japan.
They
So
agree.
I don't have, oh, I must be moving in by Christmas Day. It is what it is. It takes what it takes.
I appreciate that.
So I have
I wish we had many more customers like you.
Oh, really? They don't. Oh,
I mean,
okay.
that was what my rant video was all about. I keep telling them, and they keep saying I understand, and then they keep saying, why hasn't it happened yet? But I told you.
All right. Maybe a graphic, like a Gantt chart, it's like there you go.
That's
So
actually not a bad idea. I might look into
you
that.
know the, yeah, just picture speaks a thousand words, right? So I used to do project management, so I was always picturing. It was just pictures,
Well, we
just
come from a
people
similar
just
background. That was me
oh
as
is it?
well. IT project management for years.
Oh, same. So it's programming and initially systems and business analysis. Then no one could manage anything very well, so I ended up doing that as well. Turned out, apparently, people thought I was good at it. So, but I used to wear many hats. So system design, managing, analysis, all of it.
Very similar background. I've done well all under the umbrella of project management, but call center design and management, and then
Oh,
organization operating
okay.
system migrations across the board, and
Yeah, I've done a few of those. Yeah, always fun. So
good deal. Yeah,
there
I'm
was something.
happier
Oh,
where
very
I am
good.
now.
No, same. So I'm out of it. I'm very, 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 very happy. So
But
yeah.
yeah, there could definitely be worse jobs. Okay, cool. So I'll wait for your email with number one, a name and address for the invoice, and number two, just a chat with the agent, unless you want to talk to her first, and then once she says it's okay, then loop me in, entirely up to you.
Yeah, so let me do that. So at least then there's an introduction. So I can do that. No problem. I'll do that after this call. And then let's a go, Mario, as they say.
Sounds good.
Sorry, I visited the Nintendo store in Osaka. So a Nintendo merch for the
To be
little
fair.
cousins and etc. So anyway, sorry about that.
No problems at all. Very cool. And I'm a lot more responsive on messaging apps than I am on email. It takes me a good few days
Oh,
to get
like
to email
WhatsApp
these
or
days.
something like that?
WhatsApp. So you got my
Oh, I'll
number?
drop you a WhatsApp then as well, just to say, hey, then you got my detail then. WhatsApp, they use a different one here, which I can't get to grips with, Line or
Line,
whatever it is. Yeah. So WhatsApp works for me as well. No problem.
Okay, perfect. All right, talk to you soon.
All right, Ziv, thanks very, very much for your time.
No
Have a
problem.
nice
Thank you.
lunch. All
You too.
righty. Cheers
See ya.
then. Bye bye. Bye.
So there you have it. Definitely one of our nicest clients to date. I really enjoy working with this gentleman, and I think the topics that we've discussed together are probably providing a bit of insight and value to many of our listeners who might be considering similar purchases. Let me know what you thought about this episode. Now, before we go, we're also, as always, going to tell you and also link to our other sponsor's website. That's Hiroshi Shimizu, immigration lawyer and administrative scrivener. If you're thinking about moving here on a more permanent basis, or you're already in Japan on some sort of a temporary visa and you want to switch to a longer term or permanent one, or if you're considering setting up a local company or a branch office of a foreign company and you've got any sort of business or visa related inquiries, or even if you just want to find out what your options are on any of these topics, feel free to contact Hiroshi Shimizu. You can find him at japanimmigrationexperts.com. And he can help you set up a company, apply for any kind of visa, or just provide you with the best advice and extremely affordable consultation related to these topics. And he's already done that for many of our listeners. So feel free to reach out to him. Again, that's japanimmigrationexperts.com, and you'll be well on your way. And that's it from us for today, folks. Hope you've enjoyed this episode of the Japan Real Estate Podcast. Do share it with your networks, and please let us know what you think. So leave us a short rating or review on the iTunes store, on Spotify, or just drop us a line in the comment section of wherever you might have found this episode. We love hearing from you. Hope to have you with us again next time, and until then,